Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women in various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Lisa Hughes. Lisa and her husband, Jack, have been married since 1984 and have two grown sons, a married daughter and son-in-law, and three perfectly scrumptious grandchildren. That's how she describes it. As a pastor's wife for over 30 plus years, Lisa has served primarily by writing inductive Bible studies and then teaching women how to study God's word for themselves to apply it to their lives. She is also the author of two books, God's Priorities for Today's Woman, Discovering His Plan for You, and Unmet Expectations, Reshaping Our Thinking in Trials, Disappointments, and Delays. That last book is why I wanted to talk to Lisa. Lisa joins me today to help us with our unmet expectations. As ministry wives, we all have ideas of how ministry should go or will go, and it doesn't always happen how we envision it. I asked Lisa how we can respond when we recognize we're frustrated over unmet expectations. Here, friends, is my conversation with Lisa Hughes. I am so happy to welcome Lisa Hughes to the Ministry Wives Podcast. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been really looking forward to it.
Well, I have too, because I don't already know you and your story, and so I look forward to getting to know you. So how about you start there? Just tell us about you, your family, where you're serving, all that kind of stuff.
Well, my husband and I are in Louisville, Kentucky. He's been a pastor for all the years that we've been married, and next year will be 39 years. So
wow.
We've been married a long time, and we have three grown children and a daughter who's married. So we have three grandchildren, but none of our kids live nearby. So we keep in touch by FaceTime and all those things. We talk all the time, but it's a really sweet season for us. We've enjoyed ministry. We're from Idaho, but we have been in churches in Idaho and in California and for a short time in Kansas, but and now in Kentucky. And we just love what we're doing. And we really love this season of just kind of Jack and me together in our church and doing the just loving on our sheep. So we really are having a great time being empty nesters and just serving in our church and just seeing where God has us for this time in this season.
Yeah, you've said you really love serving in the areas of teaching Bible studies to women.
Yes, yes. So that came about years and years ago when I was this brand new mommy and our daughter had just been born and I was struggling to get my quiet time in and I was trying to figure out how I could spend time with the Lord. And Jack had just written a Bible study on how to study the Bible and he was teaching it. And so I was sitting there in the class and he had homework on how to write a Bible study. Of all things. And so I started putting all those principles into practice and learning how to study the Bible. And then he went on to teach that class like six or seven other times to different groups of people. And every time I would sit in there, because I hadn't grown up around in a Christian home. I hadn't been in trained how to study the Bible. So everything was new. And each time I gleaned new things about how to write and study the Bible. And as I put together these Bible studies each time as he was teaching it, then I thought, well, I can't just write a Bible study. I need to then teach it to the ladies because I'm gleaning so much. I want them to get all these goodies that I've been learning. And so that started my little adventure of writing Bible studies for the ladies and teaching them. And so I've just done that for the last 34 years, just writing a Bible study, teach it, write a Bible study, teach it, and just hoping that the ladies will see that as they glean from God's word, that they catch that enthusiasm that God's word is what changes us, mm-hmm. and that they would never want to just have something that's force-fed to them, that they really want to get in and study themselves.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so great. Well, you also have written some books, and one of them, and this is why I wanted to talk to you today, one of them is called Unmet Expectations, Reshaping Our Thinking in Trials, Disappointments, and Delays. I love that title. Why did you write this book?
Because I have so many issues. But truly, everything I write and when I teach and in retreats or whatever, it always comes from the product of my own quiet times. What is God working on in my own heart? And I figure, well, everybody else struggles with these same things too. Mm-hmm. And so that is part of what it was. Definitely the book itself is just the fruit of what God was teaching me through a very long and really painful, painful season in our lives when the Lord was just taking us through all kinds of upheaval. And originally, my very first introduction to Unmet Expectations, one of the pastors of our church at the time had come to me and said, if you could teach the ladies on Unmet Expectations, it would really cut down on the counseling load for the pastors. And so I was thinking, oh, okay, you know, sure, that'll be easy. And then that started really almost 10 years of me studying and the Lord just sifting my heart on all of these different areas. And so really the book is the fruit of that, of what God taught me through that time of unmet expectations and just what they are and how they can hinder us and hold us back and how to identify them, how to figure it out, what it's going to look like, and then how to bring your heart in line with what he's doing. So, you know, really it was just me being worked over and then just putting that down on paper.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Well, I would love to hear, we're wanting to apply this topic to ministry wise. And I do think this is a very common experience where we go into ministry and, or not just going in, but we're decades in and we realize that we had an idea of what it would be, or we have an idea of what results will come. And that doesn't always happen. And so this is a common experience for us. So I'd love to start with just knowing what for you in your journey as a pastor's wife have been some of the unmet expectations that you've navigated.
Oh, goodness. I know it's almost like, where do you start? I would say for me personally, some of the biggest unmet expectations have been where I have been a failure, really, where I felt like, oh, Lord, if only I had been better or done more or encouraged this lady, you know, maybe this wouldn't have happened, or if I would have said the right thing. And, you know, those hopes that we have, those things about life and being more than we are, and definitely unmet expectations in that realm. And also, I would say even just how God, the means that God uses to sanctify his shepherds. So our hubbies and then us by way of extension as we serve alongside our hubbies in the ministry, whatever kind of ministry it is. The expectations of just how he's going to work through those things. So it's not all easy. So he's going to use hard things and he's going to use conflict in relationships. And I think for me personally, I am such a I'm a peace lover. I want everybody to be happy. And so as the conflict sometimes that can come up in ministry is so grieving to me that I can find myself, my heart getting out of line because I don't want it to happen and I want to avoid it or I want to hide from it.
Yeah.
And those are just expectations that really aren't right. They're not true. And not according to the scriptures at all. And God just, you know, he tells us he's the defender of our lives. He's our defense. He's our protector. And we don't need to try and protect ourselves. But that can sometimes happen where we feel like we want to. So definitely for ministry, I think those are some of my bigger ones. I've had lots.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you mentioned something about identifying them. And I ask this because I think sometimes we don't recognize that what's happening is an unmet expectation. So how can we identify when we are feeling the effects of an unmet expectation?
Well, from my experience, as I've gone through all of these things, the way that I have learned how to identify my unmet expectations is really, it's in two different ways. The first is my sin. So my sin of like just being maybe pouty or depressed or anxious or bitter or unforgiving, anything, any kind of sinful response is going to be my first indicator. What's going on? Why am I feeling, you know, angry, or why am I wanting to hide from this person when normally I wouldn't? So that's my first indicator. Okay, there's sin somewhere. And then we know that sin is always a result of not thinking rightly according to the scriptures. You know, that sin is going to rise in our hearts when we're not thinking rightly about the Lord, about something that he's done, about his people, whatever it might be, where I'm not thinking rightly. And so oftentimes I can have in my heart refrains running around in my heart, like, you know, we have been faithful. We have been serving, and we don't deserve this, or, you know, those kinds of things. Or I have been pouring into this lady and she hasn't responded. And that's the last straw, you know, those kind of ultimatum thoughts we might never, ever share with anyone else, but they're there.
Yeah.
And they affect our hearts. And so for me, when I hear those things happening in my heart, or I'm seeing the fruit in my responses, even if it's just between me and the Lord, it's time for me to talk to him about, Lord, I think I'm just not thinking rightly. Will you help me to see where I'm off? And even if I don't really get to it right away, I know that by going back to the word, starting with, Lord, you are good. You always do what is best. And this is what you have given me for right now. So Lord, help me to come back under you, to trust you, to not be afraid. You know, all those truths that we need to arm ourselves with so that we can think rightly in the middle of really hard things sometimes, huge disappointments or just discouragements that we find in the ministry especially.
Yeah, that's really helpful. The subtitle of your book is Reshaping Our Thinking. And so you kind of started talking about it right there. I'd like for you to help us to know, first of all, what do you mean by reshaping our thinking? But maybe could you walk us through applying that to one of the situations you just mentioned where you said, I've been pouring into this woman and it's kind of, she's not really responding. That's the last straw.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I would love to do that. Yeah. And the reshaping our thinking really is where we recognize how we think matters. And so everything starts with, how am I thinking about my circumstances, about the Lord and what he has allowed? And so I'm answering your question, but let me start it with this. 1 Samuel 3:18 is one of the theme verses that I go through in the book. And the situation in 1 Samuel 3:18 is when Eli is told by Samuel, Eli, God is judging you because you and your sons have been unfaithful and you are going to die. And Eli, who has been unfaithful his whole life, has really, in that moment, he responds the best he's ever responded in his whole life. And he says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Mm-hmm. And that theme really capsulizes for me that whole idea of reshaping our thinking, where we start there with, okay, so I've got this lady, I've been pouring into her. She's not responding. I'm getting worn out and I just want to just be done. And then kind of entering back into that where, okay, so how do I need to reshape my thinking? Well, this is the Lord. It is the Lord. And he has given me her to love on, to pour into. And am I seeing any good things? You know, what are some ways that I can think rightly about her? And then it is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him. So he's given me this little incubator, this little pressure cooker time, this little hard thing, because it's not only good for her, but it's really good for me. And so how do I need to think about what God has given to not try and escape it? And I think that's a lot of times what we try to do, is we try to escape those hard things. I've been meditating today because I've been having some more little pressure cooker times and little difficulties. And so I keep going back to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, when he just says, I am well content with difficulties. And so all day long, I've just been praying, Lord, thank you for Paul's example, that I can be content with my difficulties, that because through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13, I can find your strength in my weakness, and that you will help me in this time of difficulty, in this time of distress, when I really don't want to be here. But I can be content here because you've placed me here. So it's all that reshaping our thinking, aligning our thoughts with what the scriptures tell us, and then being willing to believe it. That's the next step, isn't it? You know, to believe what God says. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we need to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And so, you know, it's that next step of, okay, I'm going to believe you, Lord. I'm going to believe what your word says, and I'm going to stand upon it, even if I'm not seeing you answer right now.
Yeah. I hear in what you're saying, you're asking us to reconsider what we should expect, that we often expect that life will be pretty smooth, and especially if we do all the things we're supposed to do, and that God is going to answer our prayers, and if he doesn't, that, you know, he's not good. But I think we have this very simplistic idea of what life is going to be like. But what I'm hearing you say, and what I think scripture says, is that we should actually expect things to be a little bit different than that. So can you help us to know what should we expect?
Yes. Oh, that's such a good question. What should we expect? And especially what should we expect in the ministry?
Yes.
Yeah. So definitely not easy. I am writing a Bible study through 2 Corinthians again. Years and years ago, probably 20-some years ago, I wrote a one-year version through 2 Corinthians. And this year, through the summer, I just thought, I just want to spend more time in it. So I'm lengthening it to a two-year version.
Wow.
I've just been going slow and enjoying it and just living in 2 Corinthians. And what I love about the book of Corinthians is because it's Paul on display, yeah, yeah. in the ministry. And so for us as, you know, women who are ministry wives, serving alongside others, pouring into other people, we need to have our minds full with what ministry life really is about. And so anytime there's that pouring out of ourselves, that also comes with it all kinds of other things too. We can't protect ourselves. We are called to get back in there even when we're tired and to do things for the sake of others, even when our flesh is crying out, but what about me? You know, no one's paying attention to me, and all those kinds of things. And we're to trust the Lord to believe what he says in his word, that that he is enough, and that we can trust his processes in our lives, in the people that he places in our lives, the circumstances, the situations, all the less than. Because, and I think one of the things that I love so much about studying this and spending time just really talking about unmet expectations is because it reminds us that life should be, to a certain extent for us, less than. Because if we got all the goodies, all the applause, all the stuff for our hearts right now, we wouldn't be looking to Jesus. I always run to him when I'm hurting and when I need help. And that's what the Lord wants for us, to run to him. It's only when we lean on him for his strength, when we come in our weakness, that he's put on display. And that's what we want. We want to make much of Jesus and less of ourselves. We need to decrease. He needs to increase.
That's so good. So good. I could say so many things or ask so much about that. I just think that we, a lot of times for myself, Lisa, I think that I'm an exception to the ways and the commands of God. But really, and when I say the ways, I mean that he might use suffering to give me hope, to transform me, to strengthen my faith. And I just think, well, there's better ways that that can happen, and it's usually through good things. But I'm not an exception. And I think ministry has taught me that most of all, that I'm not an exception to the ways and the commands of God. In fact, that's the way. That's the way to him. So I love that you're giving voice to that. You mentioned in your subtitle, too, that we want to reshape our thinking related to delays. And I was really intrigued by that, talking about delays. That's one of our unmet expectations, is when we have to wait for something and we're not sure we're going to ever get it. So can you speak to that? How can we reshape our thinking about delays?
Yes. And primarily, I think the verse that I run to all the time whenever I'm in a time of waiting is Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, where David, in the midst of all of his trials, and he says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then in verse 14, he counsels himself and he says, wait for the Lord. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And I love Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, when it comes to having to wait for whatever it is, waiting for God to heal a relationship, waiting for God's rescue in circumstances or a situation, whatever we're waiting on. Sometimes it's just waiting for God to move us into ministry. Sometimes it's waiting for God to move us out of a ministry. Sometimes he does move us out, and then he keeps us on the shelf. But what do we need to think? How can we think? And I think we find what we need in Psalm 27 and verses 13 and 14, where David says, I would have despaired. And that's me. My default is always to despair and be discouraged whenever I'm in a situation like that. But he just says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so David's expectation was that he would see God's goodness while he was alive. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we are waiting, we think, well, yeah, I will see God's goodness when I'm in heaven and I'm with Jesus and it will all be okay. But we despair thinking, how am I ever going to see God's goodness now? And sometimes in those waiting times, our hearts just get so stretched, so thin. It's really painful, and it can be so discouraging. We need to believe, just like David, that God is good, and that he will provide good things for us along the way as he causes us to wait. And that's why David says, wait for the Lord and let your heart take courage. You know, be strong, let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. And I think that's, I was talking with a little couple last night about these things, about how when we live by faith, it's showing courage. It's showing that we are going to be brave. We're going to stand up and we're going to believe God's word. And as pastors' wives, as ministry wives, we need to be brave and we need to trust God and stand upon his word and help other women kind of follow along, you know, join with us so that we can be these women who are trusting him, that aren't afraid, that aren't falling apart in the middle of life, you know?
Yeah, that's so good. You mentioned how long you spent working on this book, that the elder, pastor elder asked you to teach it. And then you spent, did you say 10 years kind of digging in? That makes me think that your digging into this subject has changed you. So I'm wondering how you approach life now that you have spent so much time thinking about unmet expectations.
Oh, completely. Yes, it changed me forever in living that way of with unmet expectations, of recognizing them. And I think I got faster at recognizing them, but also just seeing that I need to still, when it comes down to it, I've been working on this. You know, you would think, oh yeah, you've got it all down, but no, I don't. That every time an unmet expectation kind of comes, it still kind of surprises me in my heart. And so each time I still have those choices to make. How am I going to respond now? Because, and I think that's one of the things I really want to come out in the book, is that we have a choice to make when we come face to face with our unmet expectations. Am I going to live focused on my unmet expectations, kind of wallow, have it affect me for the rest of my life, hurt my hubby, hurt my children, hurt the ladies that I'm trying to pour into? Or am I going to believe God's word and begin to apply what I see here? And I think that's really what I still kind of come to and recognize that I need to do every single time I come to a crossroads. What am I going to do next? And I think one of the things that I've learned through that is that God always provides next for me, if I will look for it. There's always a way for me to obey him. There's no situation ever that comes at me where there isn't a path of obedience. When, no matter what situation, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how painful they are or how hard, there is always a way that I can respond that will give God glory. And that's the next step. And so for ministry wives, I mean, we have ample opportunities to put that into practice in our lives, where we can consider, okay, I don't know what to do next, but how can I obey the Lord? Well, I can obey him by believing him. I can obey him by thinking rightly about this little lady that has just slandered my hubby. I can think rightly and I can obey the Lord by forgiving her. You know, so we always have a way that we can obey the Lord. We always have an option to give God glory by our responses. And I think that's the most encouraging thing that I have just loved from spending time in Unmet Expectations.
Yeah, that's so helpful. One thing that you are exuding is a love, not just a love for the scriptures, but a knowledge, a deep knowledge of them. And specifically what stands out is scripture memory. I mean, you're quoting, people can't see you, but you're not reading those. Those are coming out of your heart and your mind. And so I'd love to just kind of highlight that and ask you, how can women listening develop a deeper knowledge, love for the word and for memorizing scripture?
Oh, how long do we have? Yes.
I know.
But let's just narrow it down to trials and ministry and delays and disappointments, all those kinds of things. So one of the things that I have done for years and years is when I see like this is a hard season or you're just kind of struggling or whatever it is, I always just pray and ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me something from your word that you desire my heart to have, to hang on to for this season. And so really from the book, Unmet Expectations, each of the chapters and the truths that are there are the scriptures that God placed on my heart to help me cling to. Well, when you're clinging to the scriptures, where it's your life and breath and your air in a trial like that, you memorize things super easy. You're living upon it daily. And it's what in the middle of the night you're meditating on because it's the only thing that's going to get you through. There are times when we need God's word and we know I will not make it through the day unless I'm living upon this.
Yes.
I think it's so crucial that we have God's word hidden in our hearts because it's the word that counsels us. Psalm 16, I've been so encouraged by this recently. Psalm 16, verse 7, David is talking and he says, you know, that the Lord instructs me and that he counsels us. And I was so struck one day. I had been teaching on that and thinking on it. And all of a sudden it struck me, the Lord counsels us. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's like so obvious, duh. But it was so encouraging to my heart where I needed to be reminded that I get all the counsel that my soul needs from God's word. Mm. And yes, God provides wisdom and counsel through other people. And I love our sisters in the Lord who are experts at counseling and getting things to the surface. But it's the word of God that will counsel us. And so we need to go there and have it hidden in our hearts because it's the word that is going to change us. And God promises to transform us through his word. So I would say definitely you need to be in a Bible study that is a Bible study and that you're in the Bible, and that you are in there daily, but also that you are growing in your skill of studying the scriptures, learning how to study God's word, because as you apply those good Bible study skills, then that gives you confidence to study God's word and to share it with other people. Mm-hmm. You know you're not mishandling it. That was my big fear and why I kept taking my hubby's Bible study class over and over again is if I'm going to be sharing this and teaching other women, I need to do it well. I need to be trained so that I am honoring the Lord, that I am an approved workman who is not going to be ashamed. So Yes.
That's so great. Yeah. Okay, well, tell us, you've written these Bible studies. Are they accessible to us? Where can we find you?
Thanks. And yes, they are completely accessible. In fact, that's why I even did my little website. So I have my website. It's called Scripture Paths. So scripturepaths.com. And on my website, you can do any of my Bible studies. They're all on there. They're for free. You can just print them out, and you have my permission. Everybody has my permission to just print them out, teach them, lead a group through them, do them by yourself, whatever. You can also sign up to receive a weekly email that just sends you a Bible study for those who kind of need that, like, I just need somebody to remind me to do my Bible study lesson kind of a thing.
That's
but,
so great.
Many are self-starters, or they are able to just kind of keep up and keep doing one lesson at a time. But I really do encourage the ladies, like, gather with one or two other ladies or get a group together and just do the Bible studies together. They're there. They're free. They're just to be used. I want it to be useful more than anything.
That's so great. Well, I know everybody after hearing you, they're like going to jump over there and get one of your Bible studies. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining me and giving us some insight on this, on unmet expectations.
It's so lovely to talk with you, but I feel like it's all one-sided and I would love to talk with you more.
Okay, well, let's do it. Thank
you.
I know.
Thank you so much.
Ladies, if you are a woman who leads in ministry, whether you're on staff or in a volunteer capacity, I would love to invite you to join me for the first National Women's Evangelism Conference in Alpharetta, Georgia, on April 8th and 9th next year. I know this event will encourage and equip you to create a culture of evangelism in your ministry. Register today and make plans to join us. Visit namevangelism.com/women-conference or visit the link in the show notes for all the details. Can't wait to see you there.